It's time now for Optimal Health with Dr. Christopher Calipe. Dr. Calipe is an osteopathic physician, board certified in family practice and chelation therapy, anti-aging medicine. Dr. Calipe specializes in reconstructive and neurotherapy for chronic pain and musculoskeletal disorders. And he's achieved fellowship certification for stem cell therapy. Dr. Calipe's office number in Long Island is 516-794-0404. We will repeat that number throughout the show. Now, here's Dr. Christopher Calipe.
Welcome, friends, and thank you for tuning into the Optimal Health Program today. Hope you're all doing well. As you know, we're going to chat here and take your calls, and you can ask your questions about things that are important to you, how to change your diet, how to get on a diet, how to maximize the benefits of your diet and your exercise, whether or not vitamins can help. Of course they can, but we get people that ask questions of all different types. And the point of my entire career being an educational, you know, format to be able to teach people, you know, what to do, how to do it, what vitamins to take, and the entire picture. So we want you to be as well educated as possible. Again, to that end, I have put lots of videos on my website. Over 2,000 articles on the website, so you could read the studies that I talk about, so you can see what's going on. So the key is as much of an education about your body as possible, why you're different or unique from someone else who may have a similar disorder. So there are many variables that create disease. We have to look at all of them and change the underlying causes, change each of these variables. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call to ask a question, you could do so right now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. If you'd like to call in a question, the website is www.drcal.net, drcal.net. And the Garden City office is 516-794-0404. And the Plainview office is 516-433-3232. As we run through some of the great articles, and I look at these all the time, never ceases to amaze me how many studies there are out there all over the world. You know, pretty much in every, you know, great country where they have terrific hospitals, terrific residency programs, big research facilities is constantly coming out. Another great study on omega-3 fatty acids talks about how it helps to control platelet function, decrease excess clotting within cardiovascular disease. So it helps cardiovascular disease. This is done at the Kolling Institute of Medical Research in University of Sydney in Australia. It involves subjects with a history of heart disease using 640 milligrams of the fish oil, omega-3 fatty acids, over 4 weeks, was found to reduce an inflammatory marker, an adrenaline-induced platelet aggregation. So this helps to decrease the potential for plaque to develop. Of course, this is not the only thing that would be good, and certainly we talk about all the things that we can test for and change, but yet another great study among many thousands on the benefits of fish oil. So the literature has been there for many years and just continues to pile up. Another article which seemed funny to me initially was interesting study done in Cairo, and it's coenzyme Q10 inhibits antidepressant-like activity in chronically stressed rats. So my first thought was, how did they know the rats were stressed or how stressed they were? And then how did they determine levels of decrease in stress? Well, of course, this is all a chemical, biochemical stress. So very important to look at the markers, malondialdehyde, nitric oxide, deoxyguanosine levels, CoQ10, etc., lipid peroxidation, DNA damage. So they're talking about CoQ10 having a potential therapeutic value for stabilizing, you know, membranes and cells and also being beneficial for the brain. And I think, of course, we see that in many cases when people take meds and their CoQ10 is very low. We see them have problems with focus, concentration, energy. If you feel you are depressed and you feel you are a rat, feel free to call in. certainly, we would love to take your call on any topic or any question. We certainly would love to chat with you. So, yeah, very important to make sure you test all your vitamin levels to make sure your body's getting its requirement. If not, your body's not going to work as well as it could. Omega-3 fatty acids reduce adipose and fat and macrophage activity in humans with insulin resistance. So that's why when we have people that have insulin resistance and they don't burn down the sugars, their blood sugar's high, cholesterol, triglycerides might be high, they may have mid-abdominal obesity. We want to put them on a low-carb diet, get good oils and fats on board, because your body will work with that better as a primary fuel. And you can change the picture. It's nice to see as well when people are interested in following what their body dictates to us from the blood test and some of the other tests, how much better people feel and how quickly they see a change, which of course becomes reinforcing to continue to do those activities or to follow that plan. Again, everything is created based upon what your body would dictate to us from the testing. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in, do so now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222, and we'll get you up on the air. Folic acid, yet again, another great study about folic acid. It may help to prevent cardiovascular disease in patients with kidney disease. Now, I think what they're pointing towards, this is the clinical Journal of Clinical Nutrition, which is a very highly regarded peer-reviewed journal. They're talking about a meta-analysis involving data from 8,234 patients with kidney disease, and they were looking at folic acid supplementation reducing the risk of cardiovascular disease by 10%. Now, I think that's, of course, because correcting folic acid helps to lower homocysteine. So very important to have all of the nutrients on board. So yet another study out of many thousands of studies that seem to say the same thing over and over again. Of course, having good B6, B12, folic acid would lower homocysteine. Absorbing it and proving that is important. If you don't convert B12, if genetically you don't have the ability to convert, then you need to use the methyl B12, which we typically do with injectable form because it's a larger dose and that's far greater absorbed in that fashion. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in, do so now. Let's go to Maria in Connecticut. Hi, how are you?
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, well, I hope I'm fine. I have a feeling that I have some sort of diverticula going on, diverticulitis or something.
Okay.
And I wondered if diet is still making a difference, because I have noticed in the last week I was eating quite a few little peanuts.
Well, diverticular disorders, the inflammatory disorder of the bowel, and then little pockets that sort of pop out of the wall
right.
of the bowel, which is supposed to be flat, et cetera, or somewhat flat and somewhat smooth. Usually a doctor's got to do a test to determine that. Sometimes they do a barium enema because then they can see that as the material sort of goes into the pockets and they take that picture, the x-ray picture. Foods absolutely play a role with that. And just because a person has one issue, like irritable bowel, or they have gastritis, or they have colitis, or they have diverticulosis or diverticulitis, doesn't mean that they couldn't also have allergy to a food or the chemical in a food or the fact that maybe the food is genetically modified. So there are lots of different components to this. If you take the foods out that you believe that are irritating you, whether it's nuts or seeds, for a lot of people, I tell them to stop eating grains and see how much better they feel. And everybody says they feel better, you know, without the grains. Then, you know, these are things that your body may be telling you. Of course, I would more likely than not, if I were to get your blood test done, you know, look at the allergy mechanism, see if you have antibodies to different things you're eating. You know, 70% of your immune system's in your gut. So that's an important place to look for things that can be triggered in other parts of your body.
Well, I was diagnosed after a colonoscopy serious diverticula. And I have to admit that I've been constipated, and that may have something to do with it.
Well, what are you having more, the sort of bloating or inflammation from diverticulitis, or are you having constipation? You know, because this can all vary, too. It doesn't have to be all the time.
It would be more constipation.
Okay, then you have to get some fiber on board that would help to move things through. There are various ways to bring fiber on board, whether you chew a tablet, whether you drink some powder like psyllium. There are many different ways to do it, but I would still rather find out what's going on in your body. I'd rather do a stool test to see what sort of things are there. You know, you may have unwanted house guests, as we say.
Mm-hmm.
Test for bacteria, virus, parasites, you know, fungal organisms, check your blood. You know, learn more about what your body's doing. Let your body tell us what's happening.
Well, I'm living in Connecticut. I'm 88, and I have no way of getting to your office, but I would love to.
Sorry to hear that. And I wish I knew somebody in Connecticut that did something similar, but I don't, so...
Oh.
We'll see if we can find somebody, and then we'll talk about it at one point, some point on the radio.
All right. Thank you for your information.
All righty. Thank you for your call. Yes.
One other question. Does stem cell in any way cure eczema or affect eczema?
I don't use the word cure for anything that we see patients for because it's a difficult expectation for people to have of any treatment. You know, we can't say that an antibiotic is going to cure a bacterial infection 100% because sometimes the antibiotic doesn't work on you. And same thing with blood pressure, cholesterol pills, and all, you know, medical realms. But we know that stem cells, based upon over 100 years of research on it, mm-hmm. and a great deal of studies, probably 500,000 studies, you know, that you can look at on the internet, if you like, show that stem cells will go to the areas of damaged degeneration, make brand new cells. Now, have I seen patients that have done stem cells just for eczema? No. But I've seen people that have had all sorts of other disorders, Alzheimer's, COPD, diabetes, any of the joints, arthritis, liver, kidney, heart failure, lupus, rheumatoid, which are inflammatory autoimmune conditions, Parkinson's, MS, stroke, get results. And those patients, you know, they've decided to talk about it, and we put them on the website. So when we talk about eczema, seborrhea, psoriasis, many of these skin disorders, I think, have an underlying food allergy component. Because most of food allergy is not an immediate reaction where you eat something or bite into it and your lips are all swollen because then you know not to eat it. But usually with the people that have skin conditions with allergy, it takes days or even a week or so before the antibodies build up enough to be able to show that response. And that's why the skin testing is so important.
Well, my daughter, who is an adult, was exposed to a chemical when she was about 19, and she was put on cortisone ointments for the last 45 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Her withdrawal now has broken her skin out into a rash similar to poison ivy.
Yeah, you can't use cortisones.
No, but,
oh, my gosh.
Know, that's what they did years ago, and that was the only thing that helped her.
Yeah, but that's going to make her body decrease its own production of cortisol. So she may need to start to, you know, boost up her own cortisol production. That may take a little bit of effort or work, but I would still like to see what's going on, you know, within the allergy realm, and maybe as well what's going on in the gut. Because remember, if you take a steroid for, you know, arthritis, and you don't feel the joint pain, and you keep walking or moving on it, you're going to make it worse without feeling the pain.
That's
now, with a steroid on board for so many years, she may be having a whole bunch of other problems on their own that are separate that are being hidden by the steroid
anyway, but this was
well, that's what I'm saying,
a chemical that we didn't realize.
Yeah, but the chemical's not there 40 years later. But all I'm saying is that if she's on a steroid for that long, you're hiding all the other symptoms the body's trying to tell you from different underlying causes. So that's why I would still check the allergy mechanism. I would check to see if there are any organisms or, you know, creatures within, you know, stool testing. There's a variety of things you want to look at to really get to the answer.
Okay, she has had all this, but nothing is really helping her.
She probably has not done the things that I've done, because nobody that I've ever seen in the practice has gone through, you know, our typical comprehensive medical nutritional approach, where in many cases our blood test is about 25 pages long. So no one I've seen in all the years I've done this has the same capacity to look at all the different things that we do. And, of course, stool testing, allergy testing, and then stem cells. So I would have to see what she had done and when. Everybody that I talk to that has allergies say, oh, yeah, I did the allergy testing. It was a blood test. And I said, well, blood test is not that accurate because you can't have every allergen antibody complex in your body right near the needle to show up on the tube, you know, for the blood test. That's why we don't do blood. Scratch or prick testing is less reliable because you're scratching the surface of the skin. You may not get the allergen to meet the antibodies that are deeper in your skin. That's why there are false negatives with blood, scratch, and prick test. And the intradermal is the most accurate test, you know, based on all allergy societies in the world. So the intradermal is a far more accurate test. And in many cases, when a person shows me a blood test they did and we do the skin test, you see things that show up on the skin that did not show up on the blood. But that's just the physics of, you know, how much blood is being pulled into that tube in 3 seconds. So you're not seeing everything with a blood test.
So a functional dermatologist or something, but she's had... But it shows that she's allergic to about 150 things. But
Well, then if she is, if she truly is, then that's going to create a lot of symptoms for her as well. So, again, I can't, without seeing her or testing her, give you an idea as to exactly what to do. But I'm sure that she's, because she's been on the steroid, she's been, you know, not receiving warning signals about problems over the years because the steroid shut that down. Certainly take a look at our website. You can see a lot of great information there. If you'd like to call or have her call, we'd love to help her out in any way we can. 516-794-0404. Thank you for your call. Let's go next to Catherine in Brooklyn. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Calipay. I have arthritis in my ankle, and I'm wondering about the stem cell.
Yeah.
Now, when you get the injection of the stem cell, what do you have to do after that? I mean, can you...
What do I have to do, or what do you have to do?
Well, I would have to do. Yeah, in other words, do I have to rest the joint for a while?
Okay, so let's talk about different scenarios.
Okay.
Let's say it hurts when you walk a block. I wouldn't want you to walk a block because then you're creating wear and tear that your body's saying, hey, don't walk that far. So I would probably take it easy if you want to walk around the house, you want to get off your feet a lot, sit in a chair, etc. We maybe will get you or recommend for you a little sleeve that you can pull over your ankle just to give you a little bit more support. We had a gentleman that came from Russia, from Moscow, whose daughter lived in the city. She brought him over and he had a bad ankle. We injected the ligaments with the stem, and we sent him to get, it's sort of like a cuff, but it's got laces, as if for a very high pair of, you know, the old Converse sneakers that went up over your ankle. So it gave him really great stability, and he walked around with that over the course of a few weeks. So it really depends upon how bad your ankle is.
Right now, my leg feels like it's crushing into my ankle, and the top of my foot is a little bit distorted, I think.
Well, swelling will occur once you have grinding on the tissue. Did you have an MRI yet?
No, I haven't had. They just did an X-ray. That's all they did.
Yeah, bring the X-ray so I can see that, and maybe we'll recommend the MRI, because the more that I can see, the better, because then I can place the stem cells in different, you know, parts of the picture.
Okay. So if I go back to the doctor, he'll give me the X-rays?
Yeah, I just need the report, so just get me a copy of the report.
Get the report. Okay, I'll do that. Thank you. And when you take the blood test for your new patient, I'm a new patient, take the blood test, and I couldn't come back because all the other tests I had to take, in other words, it's going to be 2 months when I see you. How long is that blood test good for?
Well, probably good for a couple months. I mean, it just depends upon what it shows. If everything's normal, great. If not, you know. So you're saying if you came in for the first test, it would be hard for you to get back to go over it or to do the stem cells?
Okay, I'm just in general, because when I see you on the 19th, you're going to...
Oh, we're gonna you already have an appointment.
Blood test. Yeah, we're going to go over the blood test.
Oh, good.
I saw you on the 17th of April.
Ah, okay, gotcha. So, yeah, if you wanted to do the stem cells, you can do it on the day we review your blood work. I'll look at your blood work, obviously, you know, when it comes in, you know, sort of piecemeal somewhat, but then before that date... We'll be able to see your blood work. I'll, you know, look at it, go over it with you, and if you want to do the procedure that day, you can.
Wow.
I will have seen your blood work a few days, you know, 5 or so days before.
Okay. Great. Okay. Thank you very much.
Great. Look forward to seeing you. Have a great day now.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, there are lots of people that have had joint issues and problems where they've come in and we've done stem cells, and certainly the videos are on the website. So the people who had some really interesting joint issues... One of them is a gentleman in the third column from the left, and the second video down, he fell off a scaffolding, destroyed his ankle and his shoulder, and the stem cells did a wonderful job for him. Another gentleman right below there, he had issues with his hip, and then a couple of other people across the bottom as well had great results with their joints. So one of the gentlemen on the videos is a gentleman that I wasn't aware of. He came in, another friend of his came in, and we were chatting, and his friend told me he was a Navy SEAL. And I said, wow, I said, that's pretty cool. You know, I'd never really met one as a patient before. And I was joking around with him, and this is probably a month or two after stem cells, probably 2 months after stem cells. And I knew he came from distance. He didn't live, you know, in the immediate area. I said, well, how long did you take you out here? He goes, well, I'll take the train, you know, over to Westbury. You know, and then I come over. I said, wow. I said, so that's not that far. He goes, no. He goes, I don't even mind the walk. I said, what walk? He said, well, I walked from the train station. I said, what train station? Westbury? And this is when my office was in East Meadow. And it's not right around the corner. So he was doing so well that he was able to walk from the Westbury train station to the East Meadow office, which anybody who knows Long Island would say that's unbelievable. He would walk there, have his visit, you know, get a B12 shot or something or a vitamin IV, and then go back. And he's been doing brilliantly ever since. But, you know, he had been walking a great deal and, of course, was probably more fit than most, you know, being a Navy SEAL. And he also, I think, is a Boy Scout leader. So he's always hiking. So it's amazing whenever I see him just to see what his accomplishments continue to be. So, you know, I love that stuff. It makes me happy to see people say, I can do what I was not able to do for a long time. I've lost the weight. My cholesterol is down. I've backed off my meds. I don't have these side effects. So that's the best part about, you know, being able to do this sort of thing. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so right now. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. And we'll get you up on the air. Let's see what else we have here to talk about. Vitamin D deficiency is everywhere. You know, if you could, the old saying is you could throw a rock, you know, in any different direction, you know, and there are lots of people there, you can bop somebody that's got vitamin D deficiency. I mean, we see it all the time. So in studies on vitamin D and children that were overweight, kids that were 6 to 18 years of age, the vitamin D levels were very, very low. And to an extent, the higher the obesity or the heavier the child, the more significant the obesity. And I question and I wonder whether or not that would have to do with more body mass and having to pull the vitamin D into different areas so it would be distributed out of your blood more rapidly. So very important to keep the vitamin D levels in the right range. The range on a blood lab is always 30 to 100. I think you have to be at 100. Because all the studies in the world on vitamin D, when they talk about getting your levels up to 80, 90, 100, show significant and pretty important benefits. So you've got to keep your D levels in check and then retest them. You should be retesting your blood vitamins a few times a year just to see if you're maintaining the right levels. Prenatal micronutrient supplementation may decrease the risk of postpartum depression. Now, this is a very significant, a very severe problem. A lot of women that get pregnant, depending upon age, and of course, if you get pregnant a little bit older and your hormones are already starting to change a little bit and your ovaries and your tissues are not making as much hormone, that strain on your body of the pregnancy may make it hard for you to bounce back. And people sit with very low hormone levels for a while. And for some people, it's extremely severe. So we want to test the levels of the hormones and vitamins before pregnancy, of course, because that's also critically important for the developing fetus, and then test afterwards. And if a woman needs a little bit of, you know, progesterone or estrogen or something, or thyroid, then we can correct that, and they wouldn't have to go through that depressive, you know, hormone absence scenario. So very important to keep those levels in the right range. Okay, phone lines are open once again, 1-800-848-WABC. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so now. And let's go next to Joe in Stanford.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Enjoying the day so far.
yeah, right. No, I'm just wondering if you could help me. I had like two strokes.
Okay.
And the muscles in my body aren't working right. And I went for all these tests, EMG, blood series, MRI, brain scan, and they can't find anything wrong with me.
Well, if you had two strokes, that means that blood vessels that are supposed to bring oxygen to every part of your brain, every area of your brain, some of the blood vessels, one or two, had either gotten clogged, and the blockage in the blood vessel stopped your brain on the other side of the clog from getting oxygen, vitamins, minerals, hormones, all that. And that's why brain cells started to die. And that's how they picked that up on, you know, testing that you had a stroke, besides the symptomatology of having a weak arm or leg or your face droops or et cetera. So that could have happened to you twice. Now, that would be obvious on CAT scans, MRIs. And depending upon the part of the brain is, you know, correlates with different parts of your body. So the right side of your brain controls the left side of your body. Left side of your brain controls the right side of your body. And there are different areas on your brain that have control, like the back part of your brain, where the occiput is of the skull, the occipital part of your brain controls vision. So people who have injury in the back of the head typically have visual changes or visual loss. So I'd need to look at your test to see what they show. That's always an important thing. We tell people to bring their tests in on their first visit. And yes, we may be able to help you, especially with the mechanism or utilizing your own stem cells from your body. If you look at the videos on my website, you'll see a gentleman on the third column, you know, from the left. It's the column on the right. He's wearing a black shirt, and he had a stroke, a basal ganglia stroke. Nobody survives that, but he survived that, and we did stem cells 5 years after his stroke, and he's thrilled with his outcome.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, wow. I heard you talking about the stem cell technology, and it's like, I got to give this guy a call.
Yeah, look at the video. It'll blow you away, even the ones on MS and Parkinson. So this is not something that just popped up, you know, a year ago or a few years ago. The research on this can go back many years. When I was looking at who first got published for stem cells, because, you know, just academically, it's interesting. It's curious. It seems to be some doctors in Germany, throughout Europe. One of them is Ernst Haeckel, who is a German doctor and called it a Stammzell, which obviously translates into stem cell, but there's so many studies on it. Now, remember, when you're looking at studies, you want to look at stem cells from your body. The word is autologous, from your body, and either bone marrow or fat. But if you look at my website, there are 2,000 articles on the lower part of the website, many of them, most of them, on stem cells and research done all over the place. Great research showing that it's safe and effective. So you want to take a look at those things, and you'll be amazed.
What would be your website?
www.drcal.net.
I'm sorry, www.br?
DR as in doctor. DR.
DR.
Yeah. D as in dog. R is in rat. C is in cat. A is in abalone. L is in linguine. So, yeah, drcal.net.
Doctor.
Okay, and the engineers, the guys at the station will go over that with you just to make sure you have it. And the phone number as well, 516-794-0404. Look forward to helping you out. Give us a call right away, and we'll get you all set up. Thank you for your call. Okay, phone lines are open if you'd like to call in to ask you a question. Interesting things I see in the practice, and of course in literature. This is a great study on vitamin D and the prevention of respiratory tract infections. So this talks about vitamin D in a meta-analysis looking at people that had low vitamin D and had more respiratory tract infections than people that supplemented with vitamin D and did not have the respiratory tract infections. So the idea is that if all your nutrient requirements are there, your body will be healthier, stronger, and to be able to function far better. So that's why you have requirements for vitamins. That's why they were put there. You know, B6, B12, folic acid, lowers homocysteine, B6 and zinc are good for your immune cells. Vitamin C is good for immune cells. Quadrupling your vitamin C or getting your levels up super high can enhance your killer cell production. So there's a lot of information on all of that, and it has been for many, many years. So that's why I've always tested for vitamins. Phone lines are open if you'd like to call in. Let's go to Mike from Yonkers next. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Doc. How are you?
Great.
I'd like to just wish you a happy Father's Day next week. I know it's next week.
Thank you. And to all the fathers out there.
Yeah, all of us. All of us bad guys. well, you know, with the way things are with me, too, we're all bad guys. What's amazing to me is, at the beginning of the show, when you talk about the rats, isn't it funny how they use mice, rats, and pigs to assimilate the humans?
I mean, the function of their organs is not phenomenally different than ours, but of course it's easy to, you know, breed thousands of rats and pigs and mice, etc., and they're easy because they're small, but I think every study that's ever been done on a drug or anything in medical history has been done on, you know, mice and pigs, and then, of course, sometimes they use monkeys. I mean, not that I like the idea, It's just, you know, if we're able to create a life-saving thing or a drug, you know, that's what medical research has been, you know, based upon for so many years. And when you look at vitamin studies, you're really not hurting the animal if you're correcting their vitamins, or if you find an animal that's depleted and you correct it and you see, you know, a benefit in their immune response. But yeah, that's the way, you know, research goes.
Research animals are in better shape than me.
That's saying a lot.
Stressed out, he's got to worry about bringing home the
your rat is stressed out. I knew a girl once who had squirrels as a pet, and she lived in Texas. It was pretty crazy. A red squirrel and a black squirrel. I'm like, wow. You know, here we don't like squirrels because they get into your house and they destroy things. But in Texas, I think the squirrels are a little bit more polite. It's possible.
Yeah, well, they're very, very smart. Squirrels have been proven to defeat many, many different types of trap systems.
Squirrels are smarter than humans because what do they eat? Just, you know, nuts and just no junk, no chemicals.
Yeah, they have those very short digestive tracts. I got a friend that eats nothing but meat, and I said, how long is your intestine? I don't know. I said, is your intestine longer or shorter than a 6-foot tiger? He goes, it's probably shorter. I said, no, wrong. It's just no. You've got a 22 foot.
Well, you know, you look at nature, you know, those animals don't do all the bad things that we do, you know? And of course, they only do those bad things if we present the bad things to them. So, you know, very curious. Do you have a question at all?
I'm getting off the track. B12, absorption is individually catered to, you know, my system. I take the multivitamin, I take some, you know, extra things. If I'm not getting enough. I know my hearing on my left side is shot or very poor.
Well, what we typically do is test you, make recommendations to correct, and then retest you to make sure that's corrected. Now, if your B12 levels are not good, you may not be able to absorb it, or you may not be able to convert it because you may have a defect in the gene that converts regular B12, hydroxycobalamin or cyanocobalamin, into methylcobalamin. So we always test that gene to see if you're able to convert the B12 and make it work. And, you know, then as we correct the B12, people will typically say, I have more energy. You see homocysteine levels dropping down. And people will say that their memory and their brain function appears to be better with the corrected B12.
Right. Now, do a real quick sidebar. You know those energy drinks they sell? I won't name a product.
Yeah.
I was, you know, I fell asleep half one time and almost got killed on this Frame Parkway.
And that's not good.
I decided to take, you know, have them with me at least, and I don't take the whole bottle because I would probably have a heart attack. The fact of the matter is, I would take it, and I would notice my hearing, this is crazy, I would notice that my hearing in my left ear improved. Not, you know, not dramatically where it was perfect.
But yeah, that's not an unexpected mechanism. A lot of people that take either those things that have either B12, mahuango, tucola, other stimulants, they just get a better blood flow to the brain and to the body. Sometimes their heartbeat, you see, goes a little faster because the stimulant's in it. But that is not unusual. Not that I would say that would be the best treatment for you, but I would still want you to have appropriate and safe levels of those vitamins based upon your blood test. But thank you so much for your call. Have a good day now. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, you could do so right now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222, and we'll get you up on the air. And I was mentioned before about vitamin D. You know, virtually every patient we see has vitamin D levels below 30. So we test everybody for that, and we start to correct it. And then we bring their D levels up. They say they have better mood. They have better focus. They haven't had the post-nasal drip. They don't have that little irritating cough. Every year when they seem to get sick in September, for whatever reason, I think a lot of people get sick in September because the allergies throughout the summer are irritating their tissue so much that a bacteria or a virus can jump into inflamed tissue and create an infectious process or add to an inflammatory condition. But when the vitamin D levels are nice and high, people are not reporting, you know, the recurrent infections. So I think we see that, you know, with patients in the office. And again, I document everything I see whenever I talk to patients, and we watch to see what things are helping to create their improvement. Okay, phone numbers 1-800-848-WABC. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so right now. 1-800-848-9222, and we'll get you up on the air. Let's go next to Doug in New Jersey.
Hey, Doc, how you doing?
Yes, sir. Good.
Hey, my name is Doug. I am being denied helplessness.
Okay, so that's, yeah, that's, okay. Phone lines are open if you'd like to speak to me. Give me a call right now. Let's go to Jeffrey in Brooklyn. Hi there. How are you?
Hi, doctor. I'm good. Thank you for all your valuable information.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I recently got a lab report back from my doctor, and he basically said everything looks fine. But I'm looking at the numbers, and I see a few, maybe three or four different highlighted areas that look high.
Well, what does everything mean? In other words, is it two pages, three pages? Like when doctors say everything's good, you have to actually see what they tested for. If they didn't do vitamins, then it's important to do that. If they didn't do C-reactive protein, homocysteine, fibrinogen, heavy metals. You know, these are all the things that I think people need to do.
I'm looking at my triglycerides. It says 197, and the range is 0 to 149.
Well, then that's not normal. So, yeah, that should be 70 in my book. I call the cholesterol and triglycerides the rule of 70, so total cholesterol should be 170. Then HDL, LDL, and triglycerides should be 70. That's in a good range where you don't have to worry.
My LDL is 108.
Yeah, it should be lower.
And my T3 uptake is low 23.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fine, or is that...
What's your total T3 and T4?
Okay, the thyroxine is, it doesn't have 8.1, and then the uptake T3 is 23.
What about the total T3? They didn't do that?
Oh, the total T3, and the next page.
You want to see total T3, total T4, the uptake, TSH. You want to look at all those things because they all are important in showing us how your body is actually, you know, the feedback system of your thyroid is working. So if your brain sees that your thyroid levels are low, it tells your thyroid to make more hormone by sending TSH from the brain to the thyroid gland. The thyroid gland makes T3 and T4, and that should come back and satisfy the brain with those levels. So, yeah, I mean, if it's a small, you know, test, if it's a couple of pages, it really isn't looking at all the things that I think that are important.
What can I do to lower my triglycerides?
Just low carbs, kick up the exercise, because triglycerides are made from sugar and fat. So if you're eating lots of starches or sugars, bread, pasta, potatoes, rice, oatmeal, grains, fruits, carrots, beets, whatever, then you're putting a lot of sugar into your stomach that gets in your blood and binds to the fat, and there you have a triglyceride. So triglycerides will skyrocket when you eat lots of carbs right away, and they'll plummet right away when you cut the carbs and sugars down. And if you do a lot of exercise, you know, weights, cardio, bicycle, indoor, outdoor, whatever you do, your body will burn that as a primary fuel. But you got to get a more thorough blood test done. If you like, take a look at the videos on my website, the articles. That's what you really need to do to really see what your body's doing, especially your vitamin levels. Most important test you could do.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your call. Let's go next to Linda in Princeton, New Jersey. How are you?
Yes, I'm here.
How can I help you?
Yes. So I wonder if the stem cells will work for my eyes. I have very bad vision.
Do you have degeneration of the retina, like macular degeneration?
I had degeneration in one eye, the left eye, and I had glaucoma, advanced glaucoma, you know, and then... So I had a big problem, and I don't want to lose my vision. Of course, I'm still young. I'm still in my 60s, you know?
Well, there are a variety of different studies that talk about stem cell therapy helping to improve vision. Although in this country, there is no stem cell injection into the eye directly. But I think if you look online, you'll see thousands of studies or comments on stem cell therapy improving the eye and the vision. I can't say that I've treated a person with stem cells only for glaucoma, as a direct treatment. So I haven't done that because we weren't given that, you know, protocol from where we were trained. So you could certainly look around and look for the articles that show that stem cell therapy helps. And here's a study now looking at stem cell therapy helps reverse the effects of glaucoma in mice. This was a study done in 2016. So there is literature on it. I just can't tell you 100% yes or no whether doing that would help. That being said, we've had diabetics with retinopathy that had significant improvement by doing stem cell therapy intravenously for the diabetes, and now other areas have improved. So that's the only way for me to describe it for you.
Okay. So I have to look the articles and see what is the best for me, in other words, right?
Yeah, I think if you look at all the literature on stem cells, and there are hundreds of thousands of studies for almost every degenerative disease known to man that go back many years, because it's been around in Europe a great deal longer than anywhere else. They show benefit for arthritis, liver, kidney, heart failure, lupus, rheumatoid, diabetes, MS, Parkinson's, stroke.
Right.
You know, so we see results because your own cells will go to where you have damage and degeneration and make new
right.
cells. So I think it's possible. I wouldn't say that about cataracts because the lens gets damaged and there's not a lot of blood flow there. So I don't know if lens, you know, will absorb stem cells. But I think for retinal issues, even retinitis pigmentosa, there's literature that describes the benefit. So, you know, that's probably as much as I can tell you. But I'll look at some more. I'll look at more literature for you.
Okay.
If you'd like, give us a call. We'd love to help you out. 516-794-0404. Thank you for your call. And the website, remember, is www.drcal.net. Let's go next to Deborah. How are you?
Okay. So I'm not sure if you help me with this, and mm-hmm. I'm actually calling for a girlfriend of mine, and I just heard you on the radio.
Yeah.
Do you have any information on chronic fatigue? She's been suffering for years.
Sure.
And I know they say there's no cure, and I'm sure she's done all the things
well,
that you can possibly do.
The reason
do.
Why traditional medicine said there's no cure is because they're not rigorously looking for the cause.
Yes.
So if you come in with fatigue, it could be from 50 different things. Could be from virus, bacteria, could be from heavy metal exposure damaging your thyroid production, or your thyroid level of T3 could be low when they don't test for T3 and they test for T4 and TSH. So it could be from 50 different things. That's why when people come in with fatigue, we'll look at their vitamins, minerals, hormones, heavy metals through blood and urine. I'll find out how much carbohydrate she's eating per meal or per day. So a lot of people that have fatigue actually are hypoglycemic. And they're eating carb for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And they've done it for years. So now they're making or requesting more and more insulin by eating more and more carbs. And the sugar is dropping lower and lower. So we see that in a good percentage of people that are eating too much carb. And then that person can become type 2 diabetic because then the pancreas gets so tired of making the insulin, the sugar starts to go up. So there are lots of things that cause chronic fatigue.
But let's say it's not that, and she does also have colitis, and she did have mono when she was a kid.
Epstein-Barr is the virus that causes mono. Viruses, bacteria, parasites, fungus can affect the gut. I can't have a conversation saying, well, let's say it's not that. Well, what if it is? What if it is one of those 50 things? I guarantee you it's one of those 50 different categories that we look at because I've done this same thing on chronic fatigue patients for 30 years. So you can't rule out something that we've seen in many, many cases is the cause. So it could be viral, bacterial, you know, fungal, parasite. It could be low blood sugar. It could be low thyroid, DHEA, testosterone, you know, growth hormone, heavy metal exposure. There's so many things that cause it. But I know that because that's what we found. Not everything on everybody, but combinations of those things on different people that have chronic fatigue. How old is she now?
She's 56, something
well,
like
her
that.
Hormones are going to be lower than they were 5 or 10 years ago, so decline in estrogen, progesterone, DHEA, testosterone, that all may be playing a role.
Right.
You know, we have
she's
to look
always
at.
Always suffered, but it's just getting worse as she's getting older.
Well, because as you get older, you're losing new cell production in all of your tissues, and now your neurotransmitters in your brain are decreased in number, your hormones are decreasing in number. That's why we look at all these things. That's why I'm trying to make a point that, you know, with that person, we may very well do a 25-page blood test and look at all of those things, and we see what we find, and we start changing it.
So let me ask you, have you seen patients of yours, and a percentage of how many, who you've diagnosed with chronic fatigue and you've treated, and how many you've helped?
Everybody's been helped, but do you really think that I could remember 30 years worth of fatigue patients?
No.
Fatigue is the most common presentation coming to the doctor's office. Everybody's tired here or there for one or other reasons, but the reason why my patients get better with fatigue is because we're finding if they don't convert B12 because they don't have a gene to do that, and then you correct the methylation process, you give them B12 shots that are methyl B12, and that gives them 30% more energy. Or you correct a declining thyroid, and that gives them more energy. So there's nowhere in the world that's going to test as many different things that we do. That's why we get such good results, because we're not limited to testing for two or three pages, you know, of blood. We're looking at all those causes. Heavy metals damage your thyroid, your brain chemicals. There's so much that can cause fatigue. That's why our results are dramatically different. When doctors say, oh, you know, there's no treatment for this. Of course there is. They just don't even know what the causes are. So that's why it's a big difference. Thank you for your call. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so right now. Let's go next to Mike in Queens. How are you?
How you doing?
Great.
My problem is a back problem.
Okay.
I had three hernia discs in my lower back, arthritis, stenosis, and it's just something I pick up a couch the other day, so I could barely move a chair.
Well, if it's not constant, I'm saying there's a variable. Some days you can pick up a couch, and then you can't pick up a chair. It means that there's a variability in the underlying structure of your back. You can't pick up a chair sometimes because you may have a disc pushing up against the nerve and it's giving you pain. And the days where you can pick up the couch, you have better positioning of your discs in between your vertebrae. So for a lot of people that have back problems, we'll either do platelet-rich plasma therapy, where we take your blood, spin it, and inject that into your ligaments to create strength in your sacroiliac or your ligaments in the low back. It could be a variety of things. In some cases, we'll use prolotherapy. We typically will also have people go to physical therapy, because when they do, I can get a report from the physical therapist as to what your limitations are, and as I guide them as to what to do to help to, you know, correct your musculoskeletal picture, we can see, the range of motion is better, the strength is better. So it's a combination of different things that we would do.
Okay, but you think in time it'll get better?
Well, I haven't seen your MRI, so how do I know? How many discs are herniated? Are there one herniated and four bulging? I mean, how do I know?
There's three.
I'd have to see.
It's the bottom disc. I think it's the 5, 6, and 7 on the bottom.
Yeah, L5-S1 is the most common.
Yeah.
It depends upon, you know, what you do to try to strengthen those ligaments. That's what I'm trying to say. So I would need to look at your MRI, look at your range of motion, you know, document everything that you're telling me, and then start to correct that. That's typically how we do it.
And, I guess I have your address, so I'll give you a call, and we'll make an appointment then.
I'd love to help you out. Look forward to it. Thank you for the call. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call and ask a question, you could do so right now. Let's go to Betty in Clifton, New Jersey.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I want to just tell you that I'm calling about a surgery I had. I fractured the femur bone.
Okay.
2 years ago. It'll be 2 years. And, of course, I've gone to all kinds of therapy, and I'm walking much better. But
okay.
I still get the pain. I'm wondering if stem cell could help.
Well, from all the literature that I've seen, and again, worldwide literature on stem cell therapy, whether bone marrow or from fat, stem cells can go to areas of damage and degeneration and make new cells. So we use them for joints, your ankles, your knees, your hips, your shoulders, your wrists, etc. We do it intravenously to help with your organs. We could do a nebulizer into your lungs to help your lungs, and nasal to get into the brain. So there are many hundreds of thousands of studies on stem cell therapy going back 100 years and such that describe how your own cells help to repair your body. So it's entirely likely that if we saw an MRI of your back or your hip and you had some damage in your hip or you had some arthritis, we might be able to do stem cell therapy to try to create, you know, repair.
No, I don't have anything like that. Just
I don't know what you have because I haven't seen your, you know, your tests.
I don't have any other kind of pains or anything, so I was just wondering if the stem cell could help it, because this is joint, isn't it, really?
Well, yeah, I just mentioned that we inject all the joints, so we inject the joints with stem cells. Yeah, of course.
Oh, I would have to come in then.
Yeah, bring in copies of your tests, x-rays, MRIs, whatever, and we'll sit down and go over it, and I'll give you a much more accurate answer. I mean, I can't explain too much to you without seeing your tests.
Okay.
But we'd love to help you out.
Hello?
Yes.
Have you heard of ELIXIN? It's supposed to be stem cell support.
Yeah, anything that's not stem cell is not stem cell support. There's no such thing as stem cell support, only stem cells.
Okay.
So there's nothing that you can take that you can swallow, you know, orally like a capsule or a pill that will get your stem cells to leave the bone marrow and go right to that area. We're just taking, you know, huge numbers, billions, putting them right to work. Take a look at the website. You'll see some great results with stem cell therapy. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Pete in New Jersey. Hi there. How are you?
Hello. How you doing?
Good.
I have a son who had diagnosed with pericarditis, and I heard you...
Pericarditis? Inflammation around the heart?
Correct.
Yes. Wow. From an infection?
And, well, they said it was idiopathic. They don't know exactly what caused it.
Wow.
And we heard you say that vitamin D deficiency could be one of the reasons for an you get infection, right? You just mentioned a few minutes ago.
Yep.
And maybe causing the inflammation.
Yeah, I mean, we test people all the time for vitamins and minerals to make sure their levels are in a good range because we want them to be as strong as possible. I don't know, and I don't think the doctors, did they do blood testing to look for infection for him when he had the pericarditis?
Infectious disease.
And they couldn't find an infection in the blood? Or?
No, sir. No infection or anything like that, and that's when they just...
And they just treated him with antibiotics or no?
They gave him... Colchicine.
And, okay. Did that help him?
Yes, and naproxen. And it helped him. You know, they took him off of it for a bit, and he got back on it, and he got it again.
Yeah, that's odd. Something else is something may be missed. I don't know. I mean, I'd have to look at the prior testing and see, you know, a chronology of what happened. You know, when did he first have symptoms? What did they find? You know, what transpired? I need to look at that whole continuum. I need to see what has been going on over that period of time. But I'd certainly like to help him out. You certainly can bring him in.
Okay.
All righty.
And then I'll look at your website, and then I guess go from there.
Great. Perfect. Thank you so much for your call. Okay, let's go to Joan in Staten Island. Hi there.
Good afternoon, doctor.
How are you?
I'm not that great. I have a lot of problems, but my eyes struggling me right now. The doctor say I have degenerative disease in them, and the vision is very, very low.
Well, we know that stem cell therapy intravenously and also with a nasal application can get to your eye because we've had people that said that their vision is improved, color vision's improved. Ophthalmologists have told us on some of our diabetics that the retinopathy on diabetics was improving. So I think you have a potential benefit there. I just can't, you know, tell you 100% because I don't know anything about your entire case yet. But I think your own cells from your own body would be significant in helping to create repair. But I'd have to evaluate you first. Already?
Where are you located?
The office is in Garden City on Stewart Avenue, right near the intersection of Meadowbrook Parkway and Stewart Avenue. The phone number, if you'd like to call, is 516.
Hold on for me, please. Make a good thing. I'll write that down.
Okay, you got to be quick because we're at the end of the program. Yeah, they can give you that. The engineer can give you that off the air. Very quick. Jesse, what's your question? How can I help you? You're at the end of the program.
Yes. Good evening. I was struck by a car, and my optic nerve is mostly frayed, so I lost the vision in my left eye.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Hmm. I've just had brain surgery and a bunch of other complications with that. But,
oh, boy. I'd love to be able to help you out, and certainly I think, as I told the patient, the person calling before, we might be able to do stem cell therapy to go intravenously to get to different tissues or even nasal, but... sorry, we're at the end of the program. Give us a call at the office, 516-794-0404. DrCal.net is the website, www.drcal.net. Bye-bye now.